Knockout.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this lie they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand this is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling at WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found me.
Oh my gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this guy's stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best, we're best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
How? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of these.
Oh, the pad.
You're a flavor man. I know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
To the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I am, of course, the host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer, Sir Rockin.
Just beat it.
Yeah. We are coming into Fall Out Boy's cover of Beat It. If you have not heard the entire thing, they let it out a couple years ago. Go listen to it because it's a fantastic cover of the song.
Just don't listen to it now, like in 2 hours.
Yeah, listen to it in about 2 hours. Also, Bad Romance by Hailstorm, fantastic cover of that song. They actually make it good. Go figure. Anyway, we're not here to talk about music, we're here to talk about wrestling and everything that happened in the world of wrestling this week, and oh my God, a lot happened.
Things have happened in the world of sports and the entertainment.
Yes, and we have news, we have discussions, we have Genesis Part 1, but before we get into all of that, we have our question of the night.
And our question tonight goes as follows. Who else do you see going into this year's WWE Hall of Fame?
It says, we heard the Ultimate Warrior got announced as the initial inductee for the 2014 Hall of Fame. So who else will come in with him? It's a big year. It's WrestleMania 30. So I expect them to have an all-star class if they're leading with Warrior.
Yeah, and this is a good segue to say, this is the news brought to you by PWMania.com.
Yes.
As we're giving everyone, you know, what the people are talking about out there, and Ultimate Warrior is going into the Hall of Fame, and it was, like, a year ago, many would have questioned, Warrior in the Hall of Fame? What? You're smoking something. You're smoking Subway special stuff.
Right.
And now, he's going in.
Yeah, the issues between Warrior and WWE are fairly well known. I mean, they're not any secret that they have not gotten along very well in the past, but it seems the bridge might have been partially mended with the release of WWE 2K14, with Warrior doing a plug for it.
Plug, and being a character, all that fun stuff. Yeah.
The video, well, not even being a character in the game. He did a commercial for the game.
Yeah, he did a commercial for the game to go along with being a part of the video game itself, but yeah. Video games mend all wounds. Those video game checks must be really juicy.
Well, he probably gets royalties off the game, so yeah. I mean, it's better. No offense to the Warrior, but I bet it's better than working at Papa John's.
I should pull that commercial out at some point.
You should totally pull that commercial out at some point. But yes, anyway, all joking aside, congratulations to the Ultimate Warrior. It's definitely a coup once again for the McMahon family, as they have gotten somebody that nobody expected, but definitely deserves to go in the Hall of Fame to go in this year. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing who else they announce.
There's a couple of things that go along with the Warriors induction. One, apparently the war is over between him and Hogan. According to Hogan on TMZ a couple days ago, the war is finally over, brother.
So they're not going to be haunting each other's mirrors anymore?
No, I don't think they'll be haunting each other's mirrors any longer, sadly. And so that's one. Number two with the whole Warrior thing is, who puts him in? Will it be the Hulkster himself, brother?
Could be.
Because apparently, this is breaking kind of news, sort of, according to PWMania.com, Hogan is going to be at WrestleMania 30. He told some people at a convention that he'll be at WrestleMania 30. Brother. So could Hogan be the one to put him in? And again, going all the way back, WWE, it's like the relationship with WWE is like, 5 years ago, they did a DVD where they basically trashed him for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that.
The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, available now on Amazon and eBay.
And possibly the WWE Network, we'll have to see, but yeah, it's something of...
Yeah, you bring that up. Sorry to interrupt, but you bring that up at the WWE Network. They said their home video library would be available on the network. So it would be interesting to see if the Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior makes its way onto the network.
I think it will subtly make its way onto the network. I don't think it will be a big hoopla when it happens, but I bet it subtly makes its way to the network, as will most of the DVD releases. But that leads to an interesting question of who will induct Warrior. Will it be Hogan? Will it be someone else?
I don't know who else could, honestly.
Piper?
They really don't have a history. It's not like there's nothing really there for them.
Stingo?
Maybe. I Warrior's tricky. There's not many people that sort of...
Yeah, that could really induct him. It's...
It's like Hogan or Bust, really.
Yeah, when you think about it, it is kind of Hogan or Bust, so...
And that would be... That itself is just awkward and weird.
All I know is I can't wait to hear his induction speech, because you know it's going to be amazing.
That was going to be my next topic of, yeah, about all the things. You got the person who inducts him, and what his speech will actually sound like.
Yep. Yeah, this is going to be one for the ages, folks. And speaking of being one for the ages, if you'd like to attend the 2014 Hall of Fame prior to WrestleMania 30, you could do so, because you know what? Tickets go on sale this Saturday. And if you're like the rest of us who probably won't be in New Orleans, I believe the Hall of Fame is actually going to get broadcast on the WWE Network.
Maybe. That's the
Maybe.
Thing. Because depending on legal situations with USA Network, if it's going to air on USA Network, it will not be on the network. But if it's not going to be on the USA Network, like Tribute Troops was not on the network, we could see a live airing of the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, you mentioned, Lindsay.
Yes.
That tickets go on sale Saturday, right?
Right.
Well, use the promo code WWEVIP right now at Ticketmaster, and you can get tickets on the exclusive pre-sale.
Ooh.
That expires January 17th, 11:59 p.m. Central Time. Feel the power of the Ultimate Warrior as he is enshrined into the WWE Hall of Fame with the class of 2014. Join your favorite WWE superstar, Steve and Legends, for what is sure to be a memorable evening.
I have little doubt it'll be memorable.
So yes, they're available at the Ticketmaster.com as it will be held at the New Orleans Arena. So yes, use WWEVIP as your code. That's...
Hey, and speaking of tickets go on sale for the Salt Lake City show of the WWE Tour. So if anybody would like to nicely, you know, buy me tickets for that show, I would greatly appreciate it.
If you would like to buy Lindsay War tickets, you can contact us at contact@rockradioshow.com and we will set you up.
Yes. And you will get my eternal humble thanks.
Just thanks? Not even a cookie?
Okay, maybe a cookie.
Maybe. You can't even guarantee a cookie. God.
I have to make them. And that's if they turn out. Still haven't mastered this whole baking thing, even though I lived out here for 3 years. I can't figure out how to bake cookies out here. They never turn out right. I can bake a cake, fine.
All right.
But I can't bake cookies.
Fine. If you could buy, then will you give them a piece of cake?
Yes, I will happily give you a piece of cake.
You know, you could have just went to the dollar store and bought dollar store cookies. Never said you actually were baking the cookies.
Screw you! The dollar store cookies are awesome. I'm not sharing those.
Okay. I was just gonna, you know, anyway. It cost more. Anyway, I was trying to be a Jew, but never mind. Why be a Jew when... Anyway.
Yeah, I don't have a transition, but moving on...
Oh, what? You don't have a transition from being a Jew?
No, I don't have a transition from being a Jew. Sorry. I just don't. But speaking of
Hold on. A quarter has been donated to your WWE fund.
Yay! A whole quarter. That'll get you a crumb.
So there you go. Just in. A quarter has been donated to her WWE fund. There you go.
Sweet.
Now transitioning.
There might be some transitions on Total Divas. Because, well, as it turns out, there were some interesting developments Tuesday night at SmackDown. Hint, hint, wink, wink, spoiler alert. And this is not the only spoiler we have tonight. Seems that the Bellas and Eva Marie did some ring announcing on SmackDown, but, well, they were joined by another diva, but she's not normally a total diva.
No, she isn't.
Spoiler alert!
Oksana did some ring announcing, too, which led to some speculation that she might be coming on to Total Divas. It appears that there is a spot opening up on the show, as there are rumors that JoJo is out.
Mm-hmm.
That she is instead concentrating on training to be a wrestler, so hashtag where's JoJo? JoJo is going to be on NXT, which should be debuting on the WWE Network, so we'll get to see her very soon, hopefully. But the rumor is that JoJo is out, which means they'll be looking to possibly replace her, and could Oksana be in?
Maybe. I hope not. I'm sorry, I'm not a big Oksana fan. I'm hoping it was more of, oh, look, I can one-up the Bellas since I just beat the Bellas 2 straight weeks on television. That's where I hope it's going.
Right.
Oksana doesn't do anything for me. It's her look, her voice. Something just doesn't... I'm not interested in her backstory. Like, years ago I might have been, and when she first debuted and she was on NXT, maybe. But it's sort of... It's just, I don't care about her backstory.
Yeah, Oksana, I kind of waffle on Oksana. I won't lie about that, because sometimes she's good, sometimes she's not good. Oksana, I always felt, made a better valet than a wrestler. I really liked her when she was with Goldust, and she's really good at the Eurotrash gold-digging gimmick. She pulls that off very well, and when she's not doing that, she's just kind of meh. So she's kind of in between right now. And it's something of, it's like they pushed her for a while, and then they forgot about her, and then they pushed her again, and they forgot about her. She's been back and forth in between the main roster and NXT. She's done a lot of work down there. And it's just something of, it seems like she has no identity.
That I would agree with. She has no real identity. It's the first time she's, like, won a match in, like, forever this year. I was like, huh? What? Is that her music?
Yeah,
I was like, huh? What? She actually has music? What?
Yeah, that's the other thing about Oksana. You know, if you're going to push her, for the love of God, get her different music. Get rid of the porn music, please.
If you're going to keep her with porn music, give her actually decent porn music.
Yeah. But preferably get rid of the porn music. You know, just...
But no, you don't want to give her really good porn music, no.
No, she doesn't need porn music. Give her better music than porn music. I'm sorry. Just give her better music in general. It's Val Venus's music.
It's porn music.
It's Val Venus's music. Like, nobody gets Val Venus's music but Val Venus.
But they don't give her exactly that, but something along those lines.
No! You know what? Don't give her porn music. Give her real, actual, good music.
Okay, fine.
Pretty much every other diva has real actual music. Why can't Oksana have it?
Okay. All right. Apparently I'm now being threatened because we don't like Oksana. Some Tumblr user is going to kill us now because they love Oksana.
You know what? Like I said, I waffle on Oksana. She just, to me right now, she doesn't have an identity. If she got more of an identity, I think she would be a lot better, and I would probably like her a lot better. It's just right now, she has no identity, and so it's something of, it's very difficult to connect to her.
Right. I agree.
I have no other problem with Oksana other than I really hate her music, and she deserves better music. But I liked her when she was on NXT. I've liked the stuff that she did down in FCW. I thought it was very good, but
once she went, yeah, once she went black, she sort of,
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I wish she would lighten her hair. Like, the Morticia Adams look just doesn't, I don't think it works for her.
No, it really doesn't.
It's something of, if she would even go, like, a couple shades lighter, like if she did a really, really rich, dark chocolate brown, I think it would do more for her than just the jet black hair, because her hair's really limp and it just kind of hangs there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's like, here's the thing, I want to like Oksana. I just have a hard time with it. That's just me.
That's just you. Yeah, I'm with you. We had the discussion a few days ago about Oksana. It's like, yeah, if she lightened her hair and changed her gimmick a little bit, she'd be entertaining, but right now, not so much. That's our opinion. You're allowed to have your own opinion as well. And if you want to kill people, we have someone you can kill in Canada land. Just putting that one up. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Speaking of rumors and total divas, this is a good transition. Daniel Bryan made the news this week, not only for breaking free of the Wyatts, but for, well, something else that happened in that match with the Wyatts.
Yeah, go ahead.
Seems there is the possibility, it has not been officially confirmed by WWE, so this is pure rumor and pure speculation.
No, correcting you. A WWE person has confirmed it, but they have not posted a story about it.
Okay. They haven't put it out on WWE.com. So it's technically been confirmed by WWE, but until it goes out on .com, it's not actually confirmed.
Well, a PR guy confirmed the story.
Anyway, moving on. Seems Daniel Bryan has suffered from a concussion Monday night at some point during the cage match on Raw.
If anyone out there can tell us when it happened, I'd like to know, because I couldn't really tell, and by all accounts, he didn't remember a damn thing that happened during the cage match when he was asked about it later in the night, and that's when they kind of sort of start piecing things together that he possibly could have a concussion. So,
yeah, it's something of, if you don't, for what happened Monday night, if you don't remember that, that's not a good thing. So for him to not remember that tremendous moment, yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not good at all. So it's sort of one of those things where they are kind of worried big time about Daniel Bryan right now. So as much that he may not even be at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern for him right now to even compete at the Royal Rumble. I mean, the match, he was originally supposed to face Bray Wyatt, I believe, at Royal Rumble, but now that's off because of his mental, or because of the concussion.
Monday night going into Tuesday night, Monday night going into Tuesday was Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble based off the actions of Monday night. Tuesday, when the words got around and Daniel Bryan has a concussion, that came right off the books completely. So it's sort of, well, you're in a tough position where Daniel Bryan's so hot right now, got a concussion, not the first time in his career he's had a concussion, he's known to have concussions a lot on the indie scene. Concussions are big to do right now, and they could take anywhere from a week to months to recover. We saw Dolph Ziggler earlier this year, he was, out 6 weeks with a concussion?
Yes, and I believe he's actually suffered one again very recently at the hands of Ryback.
Ryback's another story in of itself. But yeah, they're in a bad situation. Daniel Bryan's at his peak, but this injury, if it doesn't go away really quick, could kill his push, it would just certainly push it to his side for right now, and it's a struggle, and it's a shame that he got the concussion, because that moment on Raw, as we talked about Monday night on the Raw post show, was absolutely fantastic to see. The crowd was awesome that night.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. It was something of, it's one of those moments that you'll never forget, because literally the hair goes up on your neck, on the back of your neck and on your arms, and just stands up, and it's just absolutely amazing and incredible, because literally there's Daniel Bryan sitting on top of a cage amidst, 8,000 to 10,000 people, all of them on their feet chanting yes in one simultaneous action. And it's just, it was an incredible moment, and I feel bad for him because he doesn't apparently remember it.
Yeah, and he came out tweeting the next day, and it's like, now he doesn't remember it. It's kind of interesting to see what happens, where they go with Daniel and they go with Bray, and we'll be talking a lot more about Bray Wyatt in the second half of this show, because he's one of our main topics for the evening.
Yes, because, we have spoilers for Bray.
We do have spoilers for Bray, so we will be getting into it. Apparently, according to someone on Tumblr, Bray used the magical powers to wipe his memory so he rejoins the Wyatts. Duh.
Thank you, Sam.
No, that was not Sam.
That was not Sam?
That was not Sam. I was philandering.
Oh god, they're starting to sound alike. She really is becoming one of us.
She is becoming one of us. That means we gotta dip her in gold and she'll be perfect.
Okay, now let's just not get kinky now.
What? That was your idea.
Shush.
It was your idea. It wasn't my
Shush.
Idea.
Shush.
I just agreed Shush. To it. I just agreed.
Shush.
I only agreed.
You know what? Do the next story.
Tickets go on sale soon for the upcoming TNA pay-per-view lockdown, which will be taking place on March 9th from Miami, Florida at the Bank United Center at the University of Miami. Go to impactwrestling.com for ticket information. I'm not sure exactly when, but they did announce the date and location for the All the Steel Cage pay-per-view event on March the 9th. March 9th is a very weird, it's a very weird slot for them, but they're going with it. So tickets will be on sale soon. TNA is coming to your area in Miami, so get your tickets when they go on sale.
Get them now, or when they go on sale, whichever comes first.
See, you thought you were going to catch me off guard, and I just went, boom, right into a story.
Yes.
And apparently no gold whatsoever. Then silver?
But you look so cute in gold.
See, you're going to disagree with her?
Anyway,
let's point that one out.
We're going to get serious for a minute, because there was a major story. We did not want to lead with it, because we didn't want to open on a bit of a downer. And no. You can totally blame Rob for this.
Hashtag blame Rob, trending on Twitter.
But as a lot of people have heard and know, very sadly, the wrestling world lost a great this week. We have lost the wonderful, the amazing, the inspiring Mae Young. She sadly passed away. I'm personally hurt by this. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm very saddened by this. She was a great fixture in wrestling history. She's been wrestling for, I don't know, decades. She was wrestling in the 40s at the apparent, you know, heart of, you know, women's wrestling when there was over 100 females actively performing in pro wrestling. And then she got a second win with her and Fabulous Moolah back in the Attitude Era. And she did a lot of crazy things in the Attitude Era to One Mae Young. She's the woman who took power bombs off of stages through tables. She went through multiple tables. She gave birth to a live hand on national television, for Christ's sakes. She's Mae Young. And the wackiness, the craziness, the awesomeness that is Mae Young is sadly no longer with us. But it's a time to be sad, but it's a time to be to honor Mae Young, and, you know, talk about her in a good way, and, you know, share a memory or two, and not be all down in the press. She was a good spirit in general, so she was all full of energy, and that's the way it should be, how she should go out. People talking full of energy about her.
Oh, I agree 100%. Absolutely 100% agree that it's very difficult. It's very sad because she's gone, and because she was a personal hero of mine. You know, Mae Young did so much in her life. We don't have enough time to list everything she did. But she was also an inspiration, and she's someone to be celebrated because she was a revolutionary for women's wrestling throughout her entire life. And she showed that not only could women kick ass, not only could they be tougher than nails, but they could do it well beyond any age anybody thought they should. I mean, think about it. Mae Young was wrestling into her 70s and her 80s.
She beat the almighty Michelle McCool a couple of years ago on television.
Yes, she did. Granted, it was with the help of the Bellas, but she still did it.
She took down that Michelle McCool. She gave her 1-4, and she just laid her out.
Yep. So, sadly, Mae Young has joined Fabulous Moolah up in that great wrestling party in the sky, and you know it just got a whole lot crazier up there.
Alright, guys, up in the wrestling world, cover your eyes, because Mae Young is going to be exposing them.
But she may look like she did in her youth, so it might be all good.
If she looks like she was in her youth, then I'll be all for it. But She's the crazy one, and they're going to be raising some hell up in the heavens above.
Oh, you know they are. So our condolences to Mae Young's family, to her friends. You know, and also obviously, you know, even though she can't hear them, condolences to Mae Young, but I know she's at least now, she was suffering there towards the end, so it's good to know that she's no longer suffering and that she has gone on to maybe inspire others in a spiritual sense.
Yes. Yes.
So, definitely wanted to share that. And also, we'd like to share our actual congratulations because I believe Trinity and Jon Uso either got married today or they're getting married this weekend.
They are getting married here in the near future. And also, congratulations to Mr. Anderson.
Yes.
Because he just gave birth to his son and daughter 2 days ago.
Yes, congratulations to him and his wife. And we'll talk all about Mr.
Anderson.
When we come back from the break, because we have Genesis Part 1 we have to cover, and oh my goodness, did a lot happen.
Oh, it certainly did. And before we go, during his match, Anderson had the bracelets on his arm. That was a nice little touch. And same goes for Bully Ray. He had Mae written on his arm as well. So nice little touches all around. But yes, Genesis Part 1. Oh, good Lord, a lot happened. Lindsay's hands hurt now.
So much typing. Way too much typing. But we'll get into it after the break. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
A tree I used to lay beneath, can't see the stain of red. From a sour bottle, baby girl, eyes the size of baby worlds. We're the new face of failure. Prettier and younger, but...
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a dick bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs friends. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
Oh,
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
I told you, Al. I told you.
Gundam style.
Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Cthulhu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know what it is.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club stays still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club stays still.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna be dreaming about him. Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey. Oh, I hate that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with a worse song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burr, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimp.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Falk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
By our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're going to jump right into Impact, which is, of course, brought to you by our good friends over at TNAsylum.com. And if you're listening to us over there, hi! Thanks so much for listening. So, goodness gracious, this was an action-packed show. And this is only part one.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely part one.
I just need to point out, there was a lot of typing going on in my household, because, God, there was a lot to cover in this show.
There was. Oh, good Lord, that first 30 minutes was all kinds of craziness.
So, basically, the show opened with a ginormous segment featuring Spud, Dixie, Magnus, and then Bobby Roode, Zema Ion, the Bromans, Bad Influence, Gail Kim, and Lady Tapa, and EC3.
And more.
And more. But at least the first part in the first break, and Sting, we should mention Sting, but basically the first part before the initial break of the show was all of them patting themselves on the back. So I'm just going to go through it real quick because there was a lot said and I couldn't catch it all. Sadly, we don't have audio.
No, we don't have audio, but yeah. This was, alright, I'll skip ahead a little bit for you. Rockstar Spud was awesome. He brought up Madame Dixie for this monumental night in pro wrestling. Dixie said, don't cross the boss. Because if anyone's ready to play, she'll play the game. And everyone in the crowd was chanting, we want AJ, we want AJ, we want AJ, as a new chapter in TNA begins. Not go with Magnus coming out.
Yes, and then Magnus comes out, with both belts. I'm sorry, no offense to Magnus, but he looked a little bit like a noob. Just because he had both belts, it's the same belt, and you can again clearly tell which is the real and which is the fake belt.
She said noob.
I'm sorry, he did. He looked like a noob.
But it's just funny hearing say noob.
He then took the mic and, you know, he informs us that our champion is speaking. Okay, Magnus.
He's our champion.
Tonight is historic. You know, he basically tells us that all the unnecessary petty business is behind us. It's been left in the past. And now, finally, the reign of Magnus has officially begun.
You sold out.
He doesn't agree. Magnus then tells Dixie that, you know, she is his champion because she is the wind beneath his wings. She supported him. She got him to where he is today, and he owes her everything.
Aww.
Magnus then goes on to tell her that she is the champion of everyone's hearts, and the reason why he wore both belts to the ring is because, well, one of them is hers. He then presents Dixie with the fake TNA Wrestling World Heavyweight Championship, which Dixie covets.
Aww.
She then takes the mic from Magnus. She's at a loss for words. She doesn't know what to say, but, you know, thanks must be given. This is the point where she brought out everybody that helped last week. Bobby Roode, Zima, Ion, the Bromance, Bad Influence, Gail Kim, and Lady Tapa, so they can have their public due given to them.
You forgot the popcorn vendor, the soda guy, the cotton candy guy.
Yeah. They were in the crowd.
But they were, yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
Apparently there was a sign in the crowd that said, Magnus wears panties.
Yes, there was. It's genius. That's a great sign.
Anyway, continue.
Yes. She says that, you know, they all went above and beyond the call of duty. She says that they will all benefit greatly for their effort, mainly in their paychecks next month, but they will still benefit as the reign of Dixie has begun. She says that tonight is the genesis of a new company, Dixie Carter's Company.
Dixie Carter's TNA.
There's a little shot.
Only the first of many tonight.
Uh-huh. Dixie then, you know, basically says, but before her reign could officially begin, there's one more obstacle, and that obstacle is Sting. But she says that, you know, her nephew, Ethan Carter III, is going to have to take, you know, Sting out so that way her TNA can begin. But at that point, Dixie brings her nephew out. He takes the mic, but before he can really say anything, Sting proceeds to... What?
He was doing...
Yep. Sting then proceeds to come out. He comes out through the crowd and interrupts.
Showtime!
And he points his bat, old school style, at Carter from the crowd.
All right, we'll stop there before, because like, well, that's when I'm in the ring. That was good use of Sting, old school Sting, in the crowd, like in the rafters, but not really in the rafters, but in the crowd. That was a fantastic use of Sting. That made Sting look like he's Sting.
Right? That was well done. That was very well done.
But yes, we had lots of guys, lots of people, and it's the brand new era in TNA. It's a brand new era. It's Dixie Carter's TNA. Effective. A little bit long, but effective.
Yes. And they weren't done, because when we come back from the break, Sting then asks if this is the future of TNA. Basically, he tells everybody in the ring that he hopes the payoff was worth it. He really does. Because he tells Dixie that, you know, there are plenty of the people in the back who couldn't be bought. Because, you know what? They have honor. Something she knows nothing about.
Ooh.
Burn.
He got her.
Sting then goes on to talk about Magnus being a paper champion. And a sellout. He also tells Dixie that, you know, it's one thing to mess with the wrestlers, which you shouldn't do, by the way, but it's something entirely different to mess with their families. That is beyond reproach. And what she did to Kurt was beyond low.
It was. You don't go messing with a man's family. It's a family. He's a family to provide for. Don't dare mess with it.
Well, you know, that's true in anything. You don't mess with people's families.
Exactly.
You just don't.
You leave the families out of this.
Yeah. So, needless to say, Sting believes Dixie should answer for that. Sting also tells Magnus that, you know, they took him into the Mafia because they believed in him, and never in a million years did Sting believe that Magnus would sink so low as to sell out to Dixie like he did.
Sell out.
Sting then says that TNA is a house divided, but he's ready to fight for it. At this point, you know, pretty much the entire face side of the locker room comes out.
But before you continue, he made it clear. He said he's coming to fight. He said, I am coming to fight. But then he said, no, we are coming to fight.
Yes.
And Dixie kind of questioned, who's we? Because there's no one besides him around.
And that's the point where the face side of the locker room came out.
Joe, Storm, Gunner, Park, ODB,
EY.
All came out.
And basically, massive brawl broke out. Everybody started fighting everybody, with the ring entering. Sting and Carter, or I should say EC3 and Dixie and Sting were all left in the ring. And, well, no, Dixie bailed.
Dixie was long gone.
Yeah, Dixie bailed, I'm sorry. So it was left with Carter and Sting in the ring, where Sting cornered him with his bat to go to break.
Again, nice, forceful promo by Sting. Good use of Sting. He was very on point. He had something to say. He brought it. They kind of brought real life issues into it. The house coming down, toppling down in front of them. Really strong promo. Tying
yes.
the real business, three syllables into all of this.
Exactly, yeah. This part of it was very, very well done. You have Dixie celebrating her victory. She's gotten everything she's wanted. You know, she's surrounded by her entourage of yes men and women. And so she has everything she needs, but well, except one thing. She has to get rid of Sting. She has to get rid of that naysayer because he's not going to get in line. So she's got to do something.
Exactly.
And, well, will she do something? We'll have to see. Because as they come back from break, Joe now has the mic, and he says that, you know, they're here for a fight. They're not leaving till they get it. This is the point where Rockstar Spud comes out with a referee, and he basically says, be careful what you wish for, and he makes a 12-person tag that's going to start right now. So your first and opening contest of the evening...
30
Samoa
minute.
Joe, James Storm, Gunner, ODB, Joseph Park, and EY taking on Lady Tapa, Bad Influence, The Bromance, and Zema Ion.
DJ Zema Ion. Gotta get it right. DJ Zema Ion.
He's Zema Ion.
He's DJ Zema Ion.
He's Zema Ion to
he's,
me.
He's DJ Zema Ion.
Hate you so much.
All right.
Hate you.
Yeah, no, totally. Alright, one thing. Spud called it a 12-man tag. And then for like the first 2 minutes, Taz's like, oh, we can totally justify ODB and Lady Top of this man.
Right?
Taz tried to sell it while honestly mocking Spud for his screw-up. But yeah, okay, here's my problem with this whole thing. Referee Brian Hebner just let them all take turns getting into the ring and having a fight. Because that's all it was. Everyone was paired off with each other, ODB and then Tapa and others. I can't remember how many who was paired with who, but they all came in the ring. It's like, who's tagging who? There were no tags at all. But there was a nice spot where ODB took care of Goddard's, was it?
I think so, yeah. This match was basically mass confusion. Everybody was beating up on everybody. It was really disorganized, so it's very hard to keep track of what all was going on.
But yeah, I remember ODB gave like a fall-away slam to Goddard's, I think it was. Yeah, Goddard's. Kaz busted open Joseph Park's mouth, which means the monster is unleashed. And, well, Kaz got destroyed. And Gunner and Storm took a shot from the monster, Joseph Park. But in the end, Joe wins with the rear naked choke as Daniels taps out. So Team Samoa Joe won.
My only problem with this match,
besides the mass chaos, or was the mass chaos?
Well, besides the mass chaos, was my issue was you had Storm and Gunner in the same match, and Storm and Gunner are supposed to be facing each other.
Right. Isn't Gunner heel?
Yeah, Gunner's technically supposed to be heel. But Gunner came out with the faces.
Because Gunner got jumped, so he's a face this week. Is he not? Is it really not a heel turn? He just doesn't like Storm? I didn't get it.
Yeah, and there weren't problems between him and Storm.
They're like fighting at the next half of Genesis. Oh, it's just about the title shot and not about they hate each other. I don't know. I lost track.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. That was my main problem with this match, was Storm and Gunner were working together, and it's like, that's not how it should be. But okay, we'll just go with it.
We'll just go with how that rolls.
Yeah, it was nicely set up from Sting's perspective, but it was very awkwardly executed.
Like, the attack last week was confusing that Gunner got taken out when he's supposed to be, I don't know. Out of everything, this is the least of my issues. Like, it's not like, least of my worries, not issues, least of my worries, because there was a lot more going on than why Gunner's face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there was so much else, and, yeah. But yeah, Team Joe wins, but it, yeah, confusing. Lots of mass chaos, but it told the story it needed to tell. It was a night. It started off the show hot. We'll go. That's the best way to put it. The show got off to a good start.
Yeah, the show did go off to a good start. It had a very nice hot opening, which I have to applaud. It's just, this was a lot, and I mean a lot of typing.
Right.
I mean, good lord, it's like 4 paragraphs worth of stuff. But anyway, backstage after the match, we see Velvet Sky and Austin Aries talking. Don't really know what they're talking about, but, you know, Velvet's like, okay, I'll think about it kind of deal. And then Chris Sabin walks up. He's yelling at her for, you know, talking to Austin Aries.
All right, hold on. She's like, he's like, what were you guys talking about? We weren't talking. What were you guys doing? We were just talking. Oops. That's sort of how the conversation went. We weren't talking, but we were talking. It's not your business, though. We were talking, but we weren't.
Yeah, it's like, well, they weren't talking about anything important. That's when you're talking to somebody, but you're not talking to somebody.
Right.
You know, kind of like what you and I do after every show. We don't talk about anything important.
We just sit here and talk.
Pretty much. But, you know, so anyway, Sabin yells at Velvet, you know, and Velvet's basically like, I don't want to do it here, I don't want to do it in front of all these people, so, you know, logic states, if she doesn't want to do it there, well, then we're going to go to the ring and we're going to have this out in public.
We're going
to
make this a big deal right there in front of the people.
Yes. So, they went to break, they came back from break, backstage, Kurt Angle has arrived, and, well, he's looking for Dixie, he's a little upset, naturally so, but so far he hasn't found her. We then cut to the ring where, you know, Chris Sabin says that Velvet is being selfish.
Yes. You going to hear some audio?
Yes, that's right. We do have audio of this. So let's hear what else Chris Sabin had to say.
We want to do this in front of the world. But Velvet Sky is being very, very selfish.
See? Lindsay called it. He did say it.
I am your boyfriend. I am the X Division champion. But listen, I'm not just the X Division champion for me. I'm the X Division champion for you. I'm the X Division champion for us. And now you want to run around backstage having secret meetings with Austin Aries? What's going on, huh? You have some explaining to do, huh?
This is how most relationships should be. Aaron in front of the world. I love this.
I mean, Chris Sabin, awfully possessive, isn't he?
Oh, he wants to know. He's the exhibition champ. As he said to him,
so
and his chick.
To do Chris I get Sabin, it. Huh? You're sitting there all proud with your X Division title around your shoulder there. I got a better title for you. Worst boyfriend that ever lived. Chris Sabin, you don't have to worry about me trying to steal your girlfriend. I mean, I will say I'm a vegan and I don't consume any animal products. But I wouldn't make an exception for a piece of pigeon pie.
Whoa. So, hey, what are you trying to steal my girlfriend?
But that before that continues, he was trying to get pigeon pie, hashtag pigeon pie trending on Twitter.
That's not what I was talking to Velvet about. I was simply trying to explain to her she doesn't need to put up with your crap. Because frankly, she's an extremely hot woman.
Oh, yay! Yay! Nice try! Nice try! You're not gonna steal her from me. It's not gonna happen. Alright? So, give up on that. Alright? This woman is mine. She loves me, and she's proven it by doing exactly what I tell her to.
Chris, I think you're proving my point. You tell her what to do. You use her as a pawn. And I was telling Velvet, you're not a pawn. You need to be who you are. You need to be who all these people know you are. One extremely hot piece of...
Oh, hey! Hey, you watch your word hole, Aries. This piece is my piece. Ain't that right, Toots?
Well, I tell you what, Chris Sabin. You think you're a real man? Then I propose next week you face me one-on-one for the X Division Championship and we take your pretty girlfriend out of the equation because I don't think you can beat me without her help.
Really? You don't think I can beat you? Well, everyone here in this arena tonight, everyone watching at home on television knows that Chris Sabin is greater than Austin Aries.
Good. I'm glad you feel that way. Here's what I propose. Just so we take Velvet out of the equation, just to make sure the pigeons don't get loose, we put her ringside in a cage. So you can't force her to do anything.
No, never gonna happen. Never gonna happen. You think my girl's gonna go inside of a cage? She is not going to go into a cage. She...
I'll do it.
What?
You know what? I am so sick of this mess. I never wanted to be involved in the first place, but week after week, you just kept putting me in the way. You know what? It's time to find out what kind of relationship we really have. I want a man who will support me and stand up for me, not blame me. So next week, I'm putting it all to the test. Because it's going to be you versus Aries for that X title. Only this time, you won't have any opportunities to force me to do your dirty work. Because I'll be in a cage at ringside. Before I leave, there is one more thing I have to say. If you don't beat Aries next week, I might have to find myself someone else to spend my time with.
Whoa! Oh, well, isn't that nice? Austin Aries, you SOB! You messed up this! That's all Aries' fault! Should mind his own business!
Velvet Sky finally standing up to Chris Sabin!
Okay, I would have ran on this segment a second.
Go ahead. By the way, I love the thing, word hole. That made me laugh. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, word hole was good, but I need to rant on this. Okay, I'm not normally a feminist or uber feminist or whatever.
You're not, Toots?
I'm not. No. Normally I let crap like this kind of roll off my back. But I had an issue with this segment and the way that it was written. And I kind of want to rant on it because it's like, you know, especially when he said you shouldn't be treating her like crap because she's so amazingly hot.
Right.
You know, not because she's an intelligent woman, not because she's a human being, not because she's a good person or a nice person, or because she's been nothing but good to you, not for any other reason, you know, other than she's hot, implying that, you know, only hot hot people don't deserve to get treated like crap, and ugly people do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, it's like you couldn't come up with any other reason other than she's hot. And, like, that was the whole crux of this, is, like, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. You know, you basically shouldn't be a dick to her because she's hot. That was the message that they sent with this. And you know what? It's just, it's like, and, you know, you shouldn't steal her from me because she's hot. Not mainly, you know, because I'm attracted to her because she's a nice person. Or, you know, we get along. Or we can talk. Or whatever. No, it's because, again, she's hot. Like, that just, I have to rant on that because it was irritating to me. It's like, you have Velvet Sky, who is a perfectly capable individual. She can speak for herself, and she can speak her own mind. Clearly. We saw that, but you know what, it's like she needs a man to speak up for her, which is just, it's kind of stupid and kind of irritating, not gonna lie.
Right.
So that's kind of my rant on the segment as far as them putting Velvet in a cage to stop her from doing what Saban wants her to do. That's fine.
Now,
I don't care about that.
Now, if we're gonna do this right, can we do this old school?
They're not going to hang the cage.
I didn't say hang. I said old school. Since they were in the building where TNA first began, what did they used to have the girls do?
Dance in the cage?
Exactly. Use one of those cages.
Well, they might still have them, and they probably will.
Because it would tie into the being hot thing. You could put her in that type of cage, and anyway. That was my point. No, what they're going to probably use is the cage they used for King of the Mountain back in the day.
Probably, yeah.
That old cage.
They'll find something and they'll stick her in it. But yeah, it just is something of, I love how it's, you can't beat me without your girlfriend, so we're just going to lock her in a cage because, you know, why not?
Because why the hell not?
It's just like, why don't you just ban her from ringside? You know, why don't you just ban her from the building?
No, it's not good enough. She has to be in the cage.
At ringside. Which means shenanigans are going to fly. So it's like, okay, alrighty. Anyway, yeah, this segment, it was a good segment. Don't get me wrong, but the way it was written was so sexist. I just had to say something. Because it's like, really? Really? That's your reasoning?
That was their reasoning, yes.
It showed that Saban and Aries both have the depth of a carrot. Which, you know that they're deeper than that, but it's like, for television purposes, it's like, wow. Wow, you're clearly thinking with your dick, aren't you?
Clearly, that's what they were thinking of.
So, anyway, moving on. Kurt, who has magically changed in a very short amount of time.
He's a quick changer.
Is still backstage looking for Dixie.
Where's Dixie? Hashtag it. Where's Dixie? Where is she? Where is she?
Yeah, where is she? Haters gonna hate.
Oh,
that's,
good lord.
That's where Dixie is.
Yes, Kenkins, you came into this conversation way too late.
Yeah, you did. You really did. You're gonna have to go back and listen to the first hour or so of the show.
Haters gonna hate type things with Dixie. God, she should not answer people on Twitter. She really shouldn't. I know she's trying to keep up the gimmick, but she really shouldn't.
She's just throwing gas on the fire at this stage. But anyway, elsewhere backstage, we see Samuel Shaw. Simon Diamond is, you know, complimenting him, giving him some pointers. He brings up Christy and how, you know, Sam should maybe back off. Shaw snaps, beats the crap out of Simon Diamond with his shoe.
Who beats up a man with a shoe?
Apparently Samuel Shaw.
Apparently.
So we see more creepy Sam Shaw. Yay. We also see EC3 giving himself a pep talk backstage. Magnus comes in and hypes himself, hypes what he's done, sort of gives Carter a mocking pep talk before leaving, where Carter continues to hype himself up for his match later with Sting. And then finally, we get a match! After all that talking, we get a match.
We do get a match.
Which makes me so happy. Because I was literally sitting here going, my fingers for a match! My fingers for a match!
Can I have a match now, please?
Please?
Please? That's great. Anyway,
We had the no disqualification match, the end-all be-all between Bully Ray and Mr. Anderson, where there was lots of action. Bully got attacked from behind by Anderson to start the match, and they went all over the place. There were chairs, there were tables, there were, I believe, chains at one point. There was just, they used pretty much everything but the kitchen sink. The only thing we didn't get was fire.
Yeah. Boo. 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 I wanted fire.
They teased it. They set up a table. They covered it in quote-unquote lighter fluid. And they had Anderson with the lighter, but it never got lit. So it was that was a bummer. We didn't get fire. Bully hit a pile driver on Anderson as he was trying to light the table up to finish the match, where Bully picked up the 1-2-3.
Interesting match. I love that there's a guardrail just hanging underneath the ring.
Right?
Oh. Wasn't last week where they had the extra guardrail placed?
Yes. They had it placed on the physical guardrail, but now they just kind of tucked it.
They just left it under the ring. It was like, screw it. We're just going to put it underneath the ring. It was a nice brawl. I'm still kind of confused with Bully's gimmick, but we'll see where it goes. Bully wins. Anderson will probably be spending some time at home for the next few weeks to take care of. I don't think Anderson is traveling overseas now that he just had children.
Yeah, now that he's got twins at home, something tells me he's going to want to be there for the first initial startup phase of getting the babies home and getting them settled and being a daddy. And
especially since it's twins.
Yes, especially since it's twins.
Because all hell will break loose with twins.
Yeah, so, and seeing as his wife and he are first-time parents, yeah, he's going to want to be there for everything. So, props to him. He can take as much time off as he wants to go home and be a daddy. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And as for Bully, well, we'll see where they go with Bully, because I'm curious about this new direction.
Mm-hmm.
I really kind of am.
I'm not sure where they're going. It's interesting, but I'm not sure. You know what I mean? I like the old Bully better than this Bully, but we'll see where this Bully goes and if they can combine the two.
Well, you have this Bully really rebuilding himself, and it's something that they have to disconnect this Bully from Aces and Eighth Bully, because it's like that Bully was so over that it's something of they have to take to disassociate him from the Aces and Eights gimmick, take him in a completely different direction. And that's what they're trying to do, is just take him in that completely different direction.
I agree.
And it's something of, I think it will all reveal itself in due course.
Mm-hmm. Most likely, yes.
So anyway, we still have Kurt Angle. He's backstage, except he's not looking for Dixie anymore. He's looking for Al Snow. He grabs Al, pins him against a wall, and, you know, demands to know what happened last week. Basically, Al's like, dude, I got a family. I had no choice.
I have a family. Kurt.
Angle wasn't satisfied with that. He then proceeds to beat the ever-living crap out of Al Snow and leave him laying.
So beat up a road agent night here on Impact Wrestling.
Apparently.
Simon Dean and Al Snow are taking some beatdowns tonight.
So, with that note, Kurt then proceeds to try and find Dixie, and he came down to the ring, and, well, he had some things to say.
Kurt, you have to realize there is a lot going on here. Things are changing, Kurt, and this is not 7 years ago.
That's right, it's not 7 years ago, because the Dixie Carter I knew, she's not here anymore. Dixie Carter was a good woman. But look at you now. You want to fake an emergency with my wife and kids? Why, to get me out of a building?
No, you don't understand. I did that because I care about you, Kurt. I care about you. I did it to protect your family. We know you would have made a decision that you would have regretted. I was just trying to protect you from yourself.
You know what? You're twisted. You're warped. You're out of your mind, Dixie Carter. You want to screw AJ Styles that badly? You take out half the locker room? Half the locker room! And you want to pretend something bad happened to my family? Why would you do that, Dixie?
Look, we both know that you need me looking out for you. If I would have come to you and asked for your help, you would have made the wrong choice. And then what would have happened, huh? You would have ended up getting injured. Therefore, you would not be able to make me any money. No, 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 Kurt. You're not smart enough to make this decision, darling. You're not. I don't want you to be like Jeff Hardy or AJ Styles. I don't want that for you. Those people who do not stand by my side. I did what I did because it was best for you. Just like everything I do is best for my team.
Best for business?
Well, listen here, honey. I'm not on your team. And I'm going to make sure this never happens again. Because after I kick Bobby Roode's ass tonight in a steel cage match, I'm going to be out here for the main event supporting Sting.
No, no, no. You know what? I think you are a little unstable tonight, okay? I can't let you get in the ring like this. So therefore, I've decided to postpone your cage match against Bobby, okay? We'll do that next week. But also, as it relates to my nephew's match, if you or anyone else decide to get in that ring besides Ethan, Sting, and the ref, there will be consequences, and consequences that may cost a job. You need to remember that, Kurt, okay?
Well, boss, this is way bigger than my job. This goes well beyond my job. If you want to fire me, then fire me. Because I'm going to do what's right, Dixie. I'm going to do what's right.
You know what? You know what? Good Lord. Here I go, having to protect you again. Security? Security, come in here. Come on, and remove this man from the building. I am doing this to help you.
You're doing this to help me.
Are you serious?
You're unstable, Kurt. You are unstable, darling. No, you're not. You're not thinking.
Oh, watch out, Kurt.
Hey. Oh, wow. Oh, crap. Bobby Roode, what a shot. From behind, you heard Dixie tell security to leave Bobby alone.
Wait a minute. Clothesline from behind, and now he's going to take him up to the shoulders, and bam, the Roode bomb on Angle.
And that Roode bomb will...
That's a terrible name for a finisher. Because usually when you say bomb, it's like a power bomb. That's no power bomb.
Right.
I love the intensity of Kurt Angle in that segment. I love the intensity of Kurt Angle on that one.
Yeah. That was a really, really, really good segment. Kurt was awesome in it. Dixie was great in it as well. And, well, could Angle be the next victim of Dixie Carter?
Maybe. Possibly.
Will it be somebody else? I guess we'll have to see. But before we find out, backstage, Madison Rayne is about to give an interview, and Gail and Lady Tapa show up. They beat her up a little bit and leave her laying. We then see Dixie tell Earl that he's not reffing the main event. Earl argues a little bit with her, but she tells Earl to take the night off, that she's going to find somebody else. And he's going to have to wait and see, just like everybody else. After this, we get Madison Rayne versus Gail Kim in the Knockouts title match. This was a good match, even though it was really short.
Yeah, they didn't give him a lot of time. They got about 4 minutes. But to the surprise of not many, but out to surprise of Gail Kim, after Lady Tapa was thrown out from ringside, Madison Rayne is your brand spanking new Knockouts champion.
Yep. Great to see her win. Fabulous. So proud of her. But yeah, I was disappointed. I wanted to see this get longer.
I wanted to see a little bit more, but I loved in the promo beforehand when they beat her up. Gail Kim walked away and used the whole BFF line again from way back when they were together. That was a nice tie-in to the whole history between the two.
Yeah, the nice little FU between them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was nice. That was well done.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations to Madison Rayne. She's your new Knockouts champion. Now, what will Gail Kim have to say next week on Genesis Part 2? I guess we'll have to see.
We'll have to. Yes, we will see.
We then see a very intense promo from Sting backstage where he basically tells, you know, everybody wants to help him, everybody's got his back, and he appreciates it. But he basically tells everybody to stand down, that tonight is about him finally getting his hands on Ethan Carter III, and it's just going to be him and Carter in the ring.
Yes.
Now, we think.
We think. All right, I'm going to take over for a second because there's a video package that came, and I want to play the audio from it really quickly for everybody. Because they hype something, and it's kind of interesting, worth talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new era in TNA.
I think the audience is ready, so I'm super excited about it.
The people are going to be able to be a part of it. This is huge for Impact.
They're going to get to see who we really are.
Gives the fans a different perspective on our lives.
We're going to reinvent our history.
You have witnessed an electric night.
Greatness is sure to follow.
TNA takes it to another level.
Oh, no, you can't. Oh, my God.
And the tagline at the end of the video package is, you know, a real new era in TNA. It's new talent, new characters, new stories, new energy. They're all out there. They're making this real change. It is a brand new TNA. Personal stories, new emotions. They're going all out. You can tell somebody's no longer with this company. They're going to make it. Their Dixieland is being stamped on hard onto this one.
Yes, yes it is. I would agree with that 100%.
A real new era is here, is the tagline of the company now.
Dixie Carter's TNA is officially a go.
It truly is.
And speaking of Dixie's TNA, well, we got more of Dixie. She was backstage, and she's talking with Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, who I had no idea who they were.
The American Wolves have... Yeah, anyway.
Have arrived in TNA. Basically, Dixie was talking about how, well, you know, we'll get you a tryout match.
That was a shot, by the way.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you do good, well, we'll talk about a contract. Well, Edwards and Richards look a little confused. They say, no, I think we're beyond a tryout match. And you know, they go, we've actually already signed our contracts. It was Dixie's turn to be confused. She wasn't quite sure what they were talking about, and they hand her an envelope and basically say, this will explain everything, and walk off. And, well, Dixie pops open the envelope, and sure enough, there's the contract signed by a new TNA investor.
They're taking their real life intrigue of a DNA investor and turning into a storyline. So there's going to be somebody who's going to counteract the Dixieland at some point. This new investor is going to bring in some new faces, most likely, to this company. Who it is?
Boy, it's anybody's guess.
It is anyone's guess. But it was an interesting way to debut the Wolves, the American Wolves, Dave Richards and Eddie Edwards, from Ring of Honor fame.
Yes, absolutely. So, internet pops, because there they are.
There they are! Woohoo!
After this, we get Ethan Carter III versus Sting with, well, Rockstar Spud and Magnus as your special guest referees.
Alright, the best part of this match for me was Sting has the Scorpion deathlock locked on EC3 and he's ready to tap out, and then Rockstar Spud drops on the back of Sting, and Sting just, you know, drops the hold and just walks around with Spud on his back and spins him off. Oh, that was tremendous. At one point, Sting was forcing him to count, but Magnus showed up, pulled out Spud, took off his suit jacket, revealed a referee shirt, and then a quick count on a roll-up, EC3 beat the Stinger.
And, well, Sting wasn't having any of that, and there were words had after the match.
There were. Basically, Sting said he will do anything to fight Magnus. Anything. When you mean anything, well, you mean this.
We're back live at Genesis.
This isn't about EC3 and me. It's not about Dixie and me. It's about you and me. I chose you to be a main event mafia. I was the one that believed in you. And how do you pay me back? By spitting in my face? You disgraced JJ Styles, Jeff Hardy. You disgraced this belt. You disgraced these fans. You're a disgrace to the wrestling business. You are a cancer that needs to be cut out. And there's only one way to do it. Magnus, give me just one shot at that world title.
Oh, okay. Just one shot. Just one more shot. It's always one more with you, isn't it? Well, you know what, pal? One more is one too many. You might have forgotten, but I haven't forgotten. You lost last year at Slammiversary, and you gave up the right to ever compete for the heavyweight championship of the world again. And while we're talking about who owes who what, I owe you nothing.
You owe yourself, don't you, Magnus? You owe yourself. Don't you want to be king of the jungle? Don't you want to be your own man and say you did something by yourself with no aid? Don't you want that? Don't you want to earn the world title? Let me tell you something, Magnus. You say you're a man. A man is a champion. A champion is a man. And boys wear belts. So the question is, are you going to be a man or are you going to be a little boy?
His face was what the text.
It was.
I see what you're trying to do. I know you. I get what you're trying to do, the little reverse psychology here. I am a man. I'm not going to fall for that game, pal. But I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. I just so happen to know that Dixie, despite my objections,
is considering once again extending your contract in TNA Wrestling. So how about we up the ante? Stinger, if you win, you become the heavyweight champion of the world. If I win, I tear that contract to shreds, and you're done. Would you like to gamble, Magnus? Then let's gamble. Oh, you accept?
Yes, I accept.
Wonderful. Because I can't wait to tear up that contract, tear up your career, tear up your life and your legacy to shreds right in front of your stupid painted face.
Sting's gonna roll the dice.
That's a big risk. Big.
And there you have that.
So that is what closed Genesis Part 1. And I believe that match is next week, isn't it?
It is.
So, do we want to do Pick'em since we haven't looked at the spoilers?
We haven't looked at the spoilers. Magnus wins.
Yeah. Yeah, Sting is going bye-bye.
The Magic 8 Ball says, bye-bye, Sting.
Yeah, it's something of, yeah. Yeah. Bye-bye, Sting. I'm sorry, but they're not going to put the belt on Sting. But the question is could Sting be brought back by the new investor?
Maybe, or they're actually telling the truth.
Well, it is, we should point out, it is that time of year.
It is that time of year, and the rumors started. They started a couple days ago. Things have heated up.
Yep. If Sting's done with TNA, well, that frees him up to do other things. Just pointing that out.
It does. Hint, wink, wink. It does. He could be headed to the good folks up north.
Yep.
Vinnyland.
He could be headed to Vinnyland, and you know what? He might be going into a Hall of Fame.
That would be fitting. That would be fitting. And we'll get into more of that come back from break.
Absolutely. So when we come back from break, we have Tweet of the Week. We have our discussions, including the Wyatts. And the New Age Outlaws, what's going on with that? And, of course, our question of the night, which is, who else do you see going into this year's Hall of Fame? So you'll have to tune in and find out what we and the fans had to say. But until then, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and the first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
And welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're going to take a little break, and we're going to have some fun, and we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
By the way, apparently I've been nominated for the QD Hall of Fame and you haven't.
I saw that. Is that your first tweet of the week?
That is my first tweet of the week from philandering. So, ha!
Yeah. Boo. By the way, I can tell you this, King Kittens, there are no Tony Romo tweets of the week.
Oh, he'll be so relieved.
That's because Tony Romo's not in the playoffs then, right? So, there's nothing.
God damn, you found a way to get a shot. I'd like to point out the Eagles aren't in the playoffs
either.
Neither are the Falcons.
I know this, but I had to, it was an easy setup. Anyway.
Can I go?
You can go.
All right. So somebody tweeted to Big E Langston, vote AJ Lee for Maxim magazine cover. To which he replied, she'd probably rather don a Frogger suit and play in traffic. Then he Big E again. I'm in the Rumble, and AJ Lee said I'd never amount to anything. Biggie Langston a third time. I can't wait for Ultimate Warrior's Hall of Fame induction speech. I'll be there with a dictionary, a thesaurus, and an almanac. AJ Lee, it's official. Longest reigning Divas champ, 213 and counting. Congratulations to AJ.
Yes.
To which she then backed it up with, time to party. And by party, I mean eat ice cream in bed with only half the shame I would normally have. And lastly, again, AJ, it's probably not super healthy that every time my Bejeweled game says, great job, I audibly respond with, thanks, Mom.
Not SportsCenter breaking. Roger Goodell has fined Lucas Oil Stadium Turf $250,000 for causing 3 chief concussions in 1 game.
Ouch.
The fake ESPN, Trent Richardson, thanks Andrew Bynum for officially making him only the second biggest bust trade out of Cleveland. I think I read that last week, maybe. Yeah, I might have. No, I didn't. Maybe? I don't know. Anyway, breaking, not SportsCenter. David Stern has fired the Heat Nets ref for violating NBA rules and calling for a 6th foul LeBron in 1 game. Eric Bischoff, what's the over-under on how long it's going to be before someone beats Justin Bieber's ass? I'll take 6 months, said Eric Bischoff. Betty fucking White, never take a date to Olive Garden because when you're there, you're family. Seth Mates, former WWE writer, does the hashtag feed me more with an arrow pointing to hashtag delete my feed. Jason Biggs, another award show, another missed opportunity for someone to put their dick in the mailing can. Hashtag Golden Globes. Not Dixie Carter. Huge news. We have struck a deal with the WWE Network. As soon as we go out of business, failed Monday Night Wars, TNA versus WWE will air. And then finally, there will be 2 wars, so you can add the S to it. That last part was me. Anyway. Gabe Goodwin, so far Lane Bennis is the Peyton Manning of the Golden Globes. Fake ESPN, Philip Rivers still has plenty of time to throw more tantrums and call bullshit when winners are announced during Golden Globes. Betty freaking White, clearly no one thought Jacqueline Bisset would win since they seated her in the parking lot. Hashtag Golden Globes. Jacqueline Bisset, from Gus Ramsey. Jacqueline Bisset had just passed the Broncos for most time of possession today. Hashtag Golden Globes. Hashtag awesome. Not Sam Roberts. I think Jacqueline Bisset just won a battle against the Golden Globes music. Father time, not as much. Gabe Goodwin. If Jacqueline Bisset played in Seattle, the 12th man wouldn't have no impact whatsoever. Sam Roberts. Jacqueline Bisset is why senior citizens cannot receive Golden Globes. Limited TV time. Richard Roper, Matt Damon, way better at ad-libbing than Michael Bay. Shot there. Betty fucking White, walking to the stage, new on NBC. Hashtag Golden Globes. They did take forever to get to the fucking stage on the Golden Globes. Like, they seated, like, everyone who won, like, so far back. It took, like, 5 minutes. Scott Fishman, I think Wade Barrett should present at the Golden Globes. He would announce the losers first. Hashtag bad news, Barrett. CM Punk goes as follows. disappointed in most people I follow for tweeting about some award show when Delta Force is on. Samoa Joe replied, I'm disappointed we have yet to buy dirt bikes with machines, guns attached. CM Punk replied, clearly, you've never been to my house.
Oh, my God.
What?
They're five.
I know. These are all about the hashtag celebrity crimes. Hillary Duff driving, hashtag celebrity crimes. Peeping Tom Hanks, celebrity crimes. Robbery Downey Jr., celebrity crimes. Kevin Bacon and entering. This one came from CM Punk. Gilbert Gottfried. And finally, Jason kidnapping, celebrity crimes. That is Tweet of the Week. I know, I didn't have that many this week.
No, you had your usual.
No, I think I was shorter. Oh, there's one other I wanted to mention.
Anyway,
this comes from your friend Melinda.
Oh no.
Cena's working on making Bring Your Dad to Work and Let Him Get His Ass Whooped Day a national holiday.
Yeah, it is.
Because we were having a conversation during Brawl about the moment with John Cena bringing his father to work and always getting beat up. We had a conversation about it. Like, she goes, I love you so much. Here's a front row ticket near the camera. Make sure you don't miss the Kofi and Orton match.
Right?
And once that camera pans on you, it may as well be a target with a bullseye. They're going to get those mentioned in there because they were kind of awesome tweets. The conversation we were having about it. Fantastic. So that's Tweet of the Week, brought to you by cbradio.ewazone.com. Yes, I gave the segment a sponsor. Why? Because I'm just promoting cbradio.ewazone.com.
Nice.
Gotta shield my crap anyway I can get it.
Yeah, you do have to show your crap anyway you can get it. So now, where do we want to go? Do we want to talk about the Wyatts or do we want to talk about the New Age Outlaws?
Oh, you didn't know? Let's talk about, I don't know, your host. Leave it.
Well, let's talk about let's talk about the Wyatts first. Let's get that out of the way. So then maybe we can talk about the Outlaws, which could lead into the Hall of Fame discussion.
Okay. Start it off.
So, well, first, play the bumper.
Oh, the bumper. I gotta go pull the bumper up. So this is where we're stalling as a... I now go and pull up the bumper that says...
Spoiler alert!
All right. So, for those of you that weren't paying attention to Monday Night Raw, stuff went down between Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, where essentially Kane tricked Bray Wyatt into getting locked in a cage with Daniel Bryan, where Daniel Bryan proceeded to turn on one Bray Wyatt. And beat the crap out of him while a helpless Rowan and Harper watched. And Rowan kind of sort of resembled a Koopa there for a little bit.
He did. Not a little. He did. He really, really did. And I had to see his ass. I had to see his ass when I wake up on first thing in the morning on Tumblr because everybody posts the picture right there. Five times in a row.
It was a little funny. I'm not.
Oh,
gonna
it was lie. it was hello funny. I'm just complaining that that's the first thing I've seen.
Yeah, he was complaining, like seriously complaining about it. It was hilarious. But anyway, so
and if we really want to, now never mind. We're not going to have that discussion on the year.
No, we're not going to have that discussion. But anyway.
Let's be serious for a minute.
Yes, let's actually be serious and have a legit, discussion about this. Because, like I said, Daniel Bryan beat the crap out of Bray Wyatt, which, of course, leads to SmackDown.
Yes, SmackDown. And that's where we go once again.
Spoiler alert!
Which I'm scrolling up in our conversation and I can't.
That's a bad thing to do. I'm just pointing that one out. When you scroll up in our conversation and how long the conversation is,
I'm trying to find the actual...
I'm looking for it myself. I'm looking actually on the on a site for it, because we had legitimate something to talk about. And of course, neither of us decided, oh, hey, let's put it in something till we remember it.
Yeah, let's actually, you know, put it in the show notes, because that would make sense.
No, so here we are, stalling for time as we're looking for what we want to actually look for and talk about on the show.
God damn it, I know you sent it to me.
I did. Yes, this is professionalism at its finest, because, well...
Live radio. Anyway, basically the gist of it was, while we look for the audio, or while we look for the text of...
Found it.
Sweet. See? Stalling.
Stalling always works when the producer starts scrolling around. Alright. So the basis of it, as spoiler alert, is the Wyatts come to the ring. Bray said he wanted nothing more to be... nothing more than to be powerful like his father. Who was his father? He said his father was never there for him. He said he instead of entrusting him with his kingdom, his father betrayed him. Cast him out like a sheep, as one of us. He said he sought greater things, and so she saved him. He said Abigail gave him hope and sang him the sweetest songs he's ever heard. He said he saw her beauty and desired her power. He said that Brian left him a battered mess on Monday night, but said that was the moment she had told him about. He said it was his rebirth into the monster that he's meant to be. He said he's already dead. He said Brian was given every chance to walk with the Reapers, but instead, he'll burn with the Saints. Was that dramatic enough reading of that?
Yeah, you could have, you know, put a little bit more drama in it.
A little bit more? I'll work it in for the next reading.
But there's a lot of really interesting imagery in that. I mean, we all knew that was coming, because it's something of Daniel Bryan left Bray Wyatt laying, and when Bray woke up, we knew he wasn't going to be happy.
Right.
Because he coveted having Daniel Bryan as a member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something of... now his real star recruit has turned on him, and it's made him look weak. It's made him look like a failure.
Right.
Basically, Bray Wyatt was humiliated. And we know Bray Wyatt, he's not going to stand for that.
No.
So I'm actually waiting to see if SmackDown goes up a little bit early in certain places, to maybe see if I can catch a copy of it and watch it, because it should be up by Daily Motion later than tomorrow. But it's something of... I don't even know where to start with this promo, because you and I sat here literally for like 10 minutes just reading that promo over and over again.
We saw a different version of the promo at first, and we were like, okay. Then we did a little bit more digging and found more of it, and it's like, huh, well, I'll be damned. That's an interesting promo. And it's like, the question was always, where do we begin? Where to start with this promo? And the one thing, and it's not like where to start, it's what you take out of this promo. And the one thing I told Lindsay was, character development.
Oh, 100%. When they first debuted, we got kind of a little bit of a backstory on Abigail. And Abigail was introduced, and we've gotten more and more and more on Abigail, but we really haven't gotten any more on Bray. And now we have the major character development with Bray Wyatt of his father threw him out when he was a young man. You know, he had ambition, and his father didn't see his ambition or saw his ambition as dangerous and threw him out. Abigail saw his ambition, saw what he wanted to do, and took him in, filled his head with her ideology, and encouraged him to do what he wanted to do.
Right.
Including take down the machine of the WWE, which led to a very interesting conversation between Rock and I, especially about Bray Wyatt's father and who Bray Wyatt's father could be, because we don't know if his father is alive or dead. I know all the NXT nuts out there can quote that, you know, Bray Wyatt's initial debut promo was about his father and how he murdered him, but that's not necessarily canon on WWE TV, as this is the initial introduction of his father onto TV.
Right.
Especially since Bray said that, you know, he had expected to inherit the kingdom and instead he was cast out. So, could there be more at work? Because it's something of, we are going into WrestleMania season. Bray is rumored to have a big part at Mania.
That's the plan. A big part in WrestleMania. At least that was as of 3 weeks ago, and then things always change. And it's like, let's start with the father. And who could his father be? Everyone's like, father, I-R-S. They could tie in a real father. But to us, we sort of went in weird different directions. And if you remember the show way back when, I would say 6 months ago?
Yeah, something like that.
We came up with this random thought that somehow Kane and Bray Wyatt were related. How were they related? One, Katie Vick.
Yeah, we came up with a wild and crazy theory that Kane is in fact Bray Wyatt's father and that Katie Vick is the mother, because Bray never mentioned the mother. Obviously, Abigail is a mother figure in some way to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be interesting just because of what he said, because his father cast him out. His father was never there. He was generally ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And one could almost see that, you know, his ambition could be viewed as a threat. But, well, Kane isn't necessarily the only father figure in that family.
No. Who's the other one, Lindsay?
I think he's a certain dead man.
A certain dead man?
Now, we're not saying that The Undertaker is Bray Wyatt's father by any means. We also tied it to Paul Bearer, too, because we're just insane like that.
We are really insane. If you buy any of the stuff we're selling, then, well, we're good at selling what we are good at selling.
But it's something of, if you think about it, and you could do a tie-in, especially with...
Right. Apparently we were told to leave Katie Vick out of this, and Bray is too cute to be from Kane's, you know, sack.
Really?
This is the feedback we're getting.
Okay, well, let me make my point, and then we can go from there. Anyway, I don't buy Taker so much as the father. It's honestly, for me, it's easier to tie Kane or Paul Bearer to Bray Wyatt than it is anything else, because you could almost go back to the storyline with Kane,
mm-hmm.
where Kane was chosen, but we never found out why he was chosen. We never learned that information. All we knew was Kane was chosen, and he was taken at SummerSlam in a Ring of Fire match, and that's all we ever found out about it. And then Kane came back as corporate Kane, and he has never been the same since.
Right.
Until Monday, where he locked Bray Wyatt in a cage with Daniel Bryan, potentially knowing what was going to happen.
So that begs the other question, was this a whole big setup from the get-go?
I don't think it was a setup from the get-go. I mean, obviously, if you know the real-life story, it's something of WWE pulled the plug on the Daniel Bryan storyline, not because it wasn't working, but because they saw the reaction that Daniel Bryan was getting, especially outside of WWE, and how popular Daniel Bryan really is outside of WWE. And it's something of, they realized that putting him in the Wyatts was not the smartest of ideas. So they pulled him out and pulled the plug, which should potentially lead to a match between Bray and Brian at some point, provided Brian can get well.
Right.
But could you, you know, there are rumors also for Bray that he's supposed to face Cena, that, you know, he's going to factor in major at WrestleMania. Is this the time where potentially you could set up the long-awaited feud between Kane and Bray? Where, because, you know, as we know, and as I've said, Kane did lock him in the cage.
Yeah, I don't think it's going Kane and Bray. I don't think they're going to go that direction. But I do get this feeling that Bray is headed for big things and could possibly, I know this is going to sound crazy, and people are going to go like, what the hell is he smoking? Did he finally touch Subway Stash? No, I didn't touch Subway Stash. Could Bray Wyatt win the Royal Rumble?
He could.
Could Bray Wyatt possibly win the Royal Rumble?
You know, there's nothing stopping Bray Wyatt from winning the Royal Rumble. There really isn't. I mean, I know Batista's a heavy favorite to win, but he's a little bit too obvious. I mean, think about it. You have John Cena potentially win the title at Rumble. Bray Wyatt wins the Royal Rumble, and Bray Wyatt goes on to face John Cena for the title at Mania.
And if you think about it from a storyline perspective, Bray Wyatt got what Daniel Bryan wanted. And that's
yes.
The title shot. Bray Wyatt is, you know how you hurt a man? You take what they want away from them. Bray Wyatt got destroyed by Daniel Bryan, so in an act of revenge, Bray Wyatt sets out on doing the thing Daniel Bryan couldn't do, and that's win the WWE World Heavyweight title.
Well, let's be fair. He could win it. He just couldn't keep it.
But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yes. That Bray Wyatt's going to take the one thing Daniel Bryan loves most, which is not necessarily Brie Bella.
And even better, Bray Wyatt takes down the machine, as I said a few weeks ago, that is John Cena. And do that, like Daniel Bryan beat John Cena, but the machine, the authority kept him down from that point. But Bray Wyatt, with control, he could be the one taking down the machine, which he wanted Daniel Bryan to do.
Right.
Because you could think about it, maybe Bray Wyatt's ultimate goal was to use Daniel Bryan to gain control of the WWE by getting the WWE World Heavyweight title, turning him into that monster that could win that championship.
By the way, I pitched that, or at least Bray Wyatt getting the title in some fashion and using the champion to control as a method of control, and everybody called me crazy, and now he's using it. Just pointing that out.
I never called you crazy. I called you weird. I didn't call you crazy.
But is that something there where Bray Wyatt is headed? Could Bray Wyatt also be heading to potentially take down The Undertaker?
This year, no, but at some point, sure.
Maybe.
And we tied it. We tied The Undertaker taking down The Undertaker to being, you know, taking down the head of the family if we kept them related in some fashion.
Yeah, it's something that I don't remember exactly how we tied it in, but we did tie Taker and Bray together. And, I mean, because if you remember last year and what it did for The Shield to take down The Undertaker, think of what it would do for the Wyatts, where not necessarily at WrestleMania, but that next night on Raw, as the way to write Taker off TV, is you have the Wyatts take down The Undertaker. They beat him down and send him away.
Right, and I sort of teased that with the Shield basically laying him out and taking the title. But yeah, laying out The Undertaker, that would be a way to, you know, take him out for good.
Which would then set up, of course, you know, Taker now has an axe to grind against Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, which could lead to a match at Mania. Granted, he also has an axe to grind against The Shield that will probably never get resolved, but it's something of, it's there if they need it, and they can always, it's like if they wanted to do that with the Wyatts, they could.
Oh, they could, and it's, there's so many different scenarios you can go with, and it's like, and tying this all together is, the Bray Wyatt, going back to Bray, because it's anyway. You mean like taking an Exodus, or should we remember that?
No, just go ahead. Go for it.
I was reading the chat. You mean like Taker to Nexus, or we should remember that? I was reading our chat. I'm interacting with the people.
Well, we can remember it at this stage. It's not going to happen because
the Nexus is
long gone, and Wade Barrett is buried.
Right, so that Taker thing shouldn't really matter. But yeah,
and if you want to bring it up, Kane and Nexus, because technically I think Barrett was supposed to get a title shot from Kane, and he never got it.
That is true. All right, so. Bringing it back to Bray and bringing it back to the spoiler alert, it's very intriguing what they could do with this character. There's so many levels to Bray Wyatt, who, by the way, is one tweet away from, well, being the devil.
Yeah, he's at 665.
Which is very odd and very appropriate. That going into tomorrow's SmackDown, I'm very curious to see where they go. And WWE has a chance to really do something with this, whether they bring in a character to play someone related to him, his father, even someone related to Abigail. They could bring just a character in, not Sister Abigail, but someone, maybe Sister Abigail had a daughter of some kind.
Well, not even that. It's we don't know anything about Abigail, so she could have other family. She could have children. She could have had a husband. She could have had sisters, brothers, whatever. We also don't know how old Abigail was.
Right.
So she could still have parents living. It's something that we don't know anything about Abigail. As far as the rest of the family goes, you know, we know at this stage Abigail is gone.
Mm-hmm.
At least we think she's gone.
Right.
You know, in the literal sense, he said he was there when she took her final breath, but that could be when she was reborn, whatever. Take it what you will. So it's something of, you know, does Bray Wyatt actually have a family? You know, he's made mention now of his father, and he gave the impression that his father at one point was alive. You know, he felt he was going to inherit the kingdom, so maybe now his father has died, which kind of could tie into Paul Bearer.
And also The Undertaker not letting him into that kingdom as well.
Yeah, you know, it's because it's not necessarily that his father cast him out. He was just cast out.
There are so many, again, the point of this whole thing is, there are so many directions they can go with this. That makes
and we
it,
didn't even,
it makes
and we
it
didn't
so
even
intriguing.
His mother.
No, we didn't.
He hasn't brought up his mother yet. At all, either in NXT or in WWE. So is Bray Wyatt's mother still alive? Does Bray Wyatt have siblings? I mean, like you said, there's infinite ways to expand him as a character.
There are. You gotta believe that he has a family somewhere.
Yeah, no, they're not gonna do that tie-in.
No, but you can always
believe. Believe, available now at behance.net/LinsWard, LNSWRD.
Thank you for going there the second time I had to do it. Thank you.
Well, no. Well, I mean, if you want to tie Bo Dallas to Bray Wyatt, you can. You just say that basically Husky Harris got kicked in the head and he's never in right sense.
I know. I was going for the shameless block. But no, you could also tie him in. But I don't think that would work at this point. But you could tie anyone. You could make anyone Bray's brother.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally tie anybody to Bray at this point, and that's what's really intriguing about the character, and it's really cool, because he's really one of the first WWE characters in a very, very long time that you can go really deep on a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
That you can really set up a whole previous life around before WWE, and it's completely believable, because he's a believable character. So it's something of, because he's presented in such a wonderful way that it's so believable. You want to know more about him. You want to know, well, does he have a family? Like, what we were asking last night is, like, well, are there any female members to the Wyatt family? We don't know. You know, we know there was Abigail, and he's made mention of sisters in cause, but we've never seen them.
Right.
You know, there's always that rumor of the fourth Wyatt. Could it be a girl? We don't know. And that's the stuff that fan fiction and that kind of thing is made of. But it's like, again, it's when you sit here and you really think about the character, you can go in 50 billion directions with the character. Mm-hmm. And you could pretty much tell any story you wanted with him as long as you kept it consistent and get away with it. And that's longevity for him right there.
Oh, it is. And it's, you just hope that a promo wasn't just a promo.
I would hope not, seeing as Abigail is reoccurring, and she's growing, the more we're learning more about her, that at some point she'll probably play a factor. Like, I truly believe that when he cuts a promo, when he makes a reference like that, it's meant to do something.
It's meant to dive into the character itself.
Yeah, so it's something of, it's meant to dive into the character, it's meant to set up something later. Because as we were looking last night, you know, he made mention of it in something in the promo last night that ties into something that he was said in December.
Yeah, the walk with the Reapers, burn with the Saints. That's sort of, he didn't say it, Harper said it, I think, in the promo.
Harper said it, but then it's also, you know, Abigail's warning about Dan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
That they made mention of back in December, and now they're tying it in again. So it's, you know, it's something along those lines where he's, you know, at least somebody, if probably him, is keeping track of what they're saying. And they're just kind of rolling on through with it.
As we've learned, thanks to Chris Hero, and our video, go rfvideo.com right now and buy the Chris Hero shoot interview, where he basically says Bray Wyatt researches his character, and he researches what fans think and say about the character. So he's well aware of, you know, what he says and how he says and how people react to it. He's well aware.
Yeah, and he loves the fact that people dive into the character and go in depth and think about it.
And it makes you wonder if he finds the stories that people write and the stories people say and the comments some people make on certain social media websites about him.
If he found Tumblr, we're all screwed. We're all screwed.
Because that's a very, very bad place.
That's a very, very scary place if you're Bray Wyatt. But anyway, moving on, because and one of these days we're actually going to record the actual conversation that leads to these discussions on the show, because, again, the conversation that we had was really twisted, and it was really cool, because we actually were able to tie Bray Wyatt to The Undertaker, to Kane, and to Paul Bearer.
One of these days. Probably never, but one of these days. We'll do it, maybe.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on. So, speaking of history, speaking of past, we have seen the New Age Outlaws pop back up. They came back as of Old School Raw, and well, they seem to be having a little bit of one last run.
They do have. They are in a little bit of like a one last run type momentum. And on SmackDown, they face off against I'm going to throw people on their bus. Oh, crap, now he knows about my denial. He knows I don't entirely believe. Yeah, he knows all about what you say. You've been warned, people of Tumblr.
Wait. Breaking news! We have a wedding picture.
Oh, from the... You say ooh, I say oh.
Yes, the new Mr. and Mrs. Uso. We have wedding picture.
Wedding picture. The Uso has been married. Congratulations to the Uso.
Yes, congratulations to the new Mr. and Mrs. Fatu. Congratulations.
Anyway.
They look so happy.
They do. Oh, yeah, and we'll talk more about them when Total Divas returns this spring on E! Anyway. On the Rack Extra, available at rackradioshow.com. Go back and listen to all the other previous episodes. But, oh, you didn't know, you better call somebody. The New Age Outlaws are back for one last run, and we started talking about this a little bit when we were preparing the show, and it's sort of like, seeing them on television right now is a refreshing change of pace. They bring an extra element to Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, because when you just hear, because they've been doing the same shtick for what, 15 years we've been saying? 16 years? 17? 16 years at this point?
Something like that.
Oh, you didn't know. You better call somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Road Dogg's been doing it. And every time he does it, do you turn your head and watch?
Absolutely.
So they bring new energy, and I'm happy to see them because, let's face it, Goldust and Cody, since they've been tag team champions, have been saying, you know, they're facing the same team after over and over again. So bringing in a team for a small, short run for the next month or two is pretty cool because it also ties in to the Authority storyline with Hunter. And watch SmackDown because that will be really interesting to see. And we're not going to spoil that one, but there's some stuff there.
Yeah. Yes, very, very interesting stuff on SmackDown. We won't spoil that, but, you know, honestly, I'm happy to see the Outlaws back. And it's something of the Outlaws are one of my, when I first started watching wrestling, they were always one of my favorite duos to watch because they're so seamless. They're so good. And it's just something of Road Dogg does that shtick, and every time he does that shtick, you're just like, you do it with him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you know what's coming, even though you get tired of it, you know, 6,000 times hearing it, you know, night after night after night, and you can do it from memory, you still do it with him and you still pop for it because it's amazing.
Yeah, you still pop for Road Dogg, you still pop for Billy. It's just fun and exciting, and they bring an extra element of entertainment to television that the show needs when it's 3 hours long and it's like, oh, match, match, match. Oh, you didn't know?
Right.
And with them being involved with CM Punk and furthering storylines, I'm all for it. I'm enjoying it. I like it. I want to see it happen more. I don't want to see them all year long because then they'll get old and tired, but if they're here till close to Mania, fine with that. Because
you know,
they're not taking a spot away. They're enhancing storylines. That's the thing. They're here to enhance stories.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's something of they, as you said, Goldust and Cody have gone through pretty much everybody in the tag division. Actually, I think they have officially gone through everybody in tag division. So to bring in a tag team, especially a seasoned tag team like the Outlaws, to work with Goldust and Cody, that's even better because that's just a bonus for everybody because we know we're going to get a really solid, good match out of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, that it's like everybody benefits when that happens, and it adds something fresh. It adds something new to the tag division. It's not like they're just taking two guys and they're slapping them together and they're trying to make the best of the situation. It's, why don't we bring in an actual tag team for the tag division? And you know what? Yeah, the Outlaws are getting used heavy right now, but it's something of they help to enhance the tag division and move it along to maybe refresh some storylines for the tag team champions.
Because
some people finish some things up that they're involved in so you can have new challengers again.
Right.
So maybe you could have the Shield challenge again. You could have the Wyatts challenge again. You could have the Real Americans challenge again.
Right. You have the Shield and the Wyatts are really engulfed in major storylines, so they're out of the tag division. And no offense to the Real Americans, they're not a credible threat right now because, well, they're not. The Usos, not a credible threat right now. 3MB, etc., etc. It's just, if you bring in a credible threat, it just allows the other teams to finish their stories and bring them back in, as you said.
So, I'm perfectly okay with this, and like I said, I'm happy to see them back.
Me too.
Because again, it's another part of its nostalgia. It makes you remember when you first started watching, or reminds you of the oh-so-sanctified Attitude Era.
That was a part of the Monday Night War. War. No war. No wars. It was just,
you know, what? There's an S on the damn teleplot prompter. It is underlined and capitalized. It is wars.
No, it's Monday Night War because, remember, there was only one war. Still love that bit. It's fantastic.
Wars. Just putting it out. But speaking of the Outlaws, could their run signify something else?
And what's that?
could we maybe see the Outlaws going into the Hall of Fame?
Which leads us to...
question of the night, which is, who would you like to see in the Hall of Fame this year?
I wouldn't mind seeing the New Age Outlaws in the WWE Hall of Fame this year. They deserve it.
Absolutely, they deserve it.
Billy Gunn, Billy Gunn really deserves it for all the characters he was. He was in Smoking Guns, the New Age Outlaws, he was Rockabilly, the one Billy Gunn, Mr. Ass, etc., etc. He deserves to be in that Hall of Fame. Road Dogg does as well for the tag team part of it, but Billy Gunn, most importantly. Out of the two, Billy Gunn deserves a little bit more than Road Dogg, but together they deserve to be in.
You know what? Billy Gunn deserves it because he did the first gay wedding.
Yeah, Billy and Chuck. Yeah.
Billy and Chuck.
That too.
The first gay wedding in wrestling, I believe, and possibly on national television. I'm not entirely sure, but think about that. WWE had a gay wedding before it was cool.
Yeah, they did. Did somebody say 3 minutes? Anyway. So I wouldn't mind seeing them in the Hall of Fame. What about you?
I totally wouldn't mind seeing them. I think it's something of, I would rather see the Outlaws go in than the entirety of DX.
DX as a whole should go in at some point, when after Hunter's in.
Yeah, I would say DX goes in after Hunter.
Because it's a lot better than having a match inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's one of the rumors, is they're going to actually induct a match, which, you know, it's like, if that's the only way you can get somebody into the Hall of Fame, then I'm sorry. It's just, it's not worth it to me to do that. If they don't want to go in, they don't want to go in, and you shouldn't try to force it.
Yeah, I just sort of, I'm not too keen on that, but we'll see. Let's go with what the people said, and then we'll throw out a list. Paul Bearer, Jake Roberts, and possibly Demolition. Demolition's the first. Undertaker, Savage with Elizabeth. And there's one of the couple other names. Scrolling on the Twitter. Macho Man, Randy Savage, ravishing Rick Rude, and again, Demolition. Demolition coming out of nowhere. Demolition was fine, but they really don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, there were characters, but they weren't the greatest tag team of all time. They really weren't. I disagree on Demolition. I honestly do. Sorry, Axer and Smasher. I don't think you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. But that's me. That's just me.
What else did the people have to say?
Those were the names.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Demolition, I don't see going in. I'm sorry. They really weren't that memorable. I hate to say that, but they really weren't.
They had a little run. They really weren't. Like, they're not Hall of Fame worthy, honestly. If someone can make a case for them and really sell me on it, by all means, sell me on it. MediaWildTalkRadio.com or Twitter at WildTalkRadio. Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Sell me on it. But as an ally, I can't see it. I'll ask you, what's your class? Who are you thinking?
I absolutely agree. I think Savage should go in. It's time. If you're going to put Warrior in, I think this is the year that Savage should go into. It's 30. You know, it's time for him to be recognized. He absolutely deserves it. As for Taker and Bearer, Taker, it's still a little bit too soon. I think they're going to wait for Taker to be in Texas before they do him.
And even then, they might not even do it in Texas.
As for Bearer, at this stage, I think they could do it, but it's not going to have the same meaning as if they do it when Bearer and Taker go in.
I mentioned this to Lindsay. The push last year was to get him in the Hall of Fame, but at this point, he deserves to get one with Taker. And if they put him in this year, it's fine. And the rumor is they might want to put him in. They may have Taker and Kane do the induction, and that'll be fine. And that's Kane and Undertaker really doing something in the Hall of Fame, and he never really does it, etc., etc. That said, he deserves the Hall of Fame, but he's not with us right now, and that's one of the things where, since he's not with us right now, it can weigh a little bit, because it's a joyous occasion, and that's sort of my thought process on it.
The push last year was because he passed away 5 weeks before Mania, and it was a push to get him in because it was they could really seize the moment, and ultimately they opted not to
do that. Which is what they did with Eddie, and they seized the opportunity.
It
just seems kind of you're putting him in would take away from Taker now, and I think they're trying to move him away from that now just because of the way things went last year.
Yeah, it's something of, if Bearer goes in this year, he absolutely 100% deserves to go in. No question. The career he had outside of The Undertaker alone warrants him going in, but the career he had with The Undertaker, with Kane, with Mankind, with everybody you can possibly think that he worked with, he deserves to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. 100% absolutely deserves it. And I'm kind of with Rock. If he goes in this year, I will be happy to see him go in. I will cheer for him to go in. But I would almost, rather see him go in the same year as Taker. Just because it has a little bit more significance. And also, that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It came out that, that's, as far as the Hall of Fame induction, that's what he wanted. He wanted to go in the same year as Taker. He wanted them to go in together. And I think that that wish should be honored. And so it's something of, if they can wait for Taker, they can wait for Bearer. And Rock's right, unfortunately Uncle Paul is no longer with us. So it's something of, it can wait, sadly. Would I have loved to have seen him there? Absolutely, because can you imagine the speech he would have given?
Oh, yes.
So it's something of, I would rather see that momentous occasion when Taker and Bearer go in together, because I can just picture Taker standing there and breaking character and telling stories about him.
See, what I would do is I would have Kane and Duck both at the same time.
Oh, that'd be great.
That way Taker can accept the honor for Paul and his own honor and just let loose.
Yeah. And just start telling story after story, because you know there are stories between those three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Alright, but back to the nitty-gritty. Who are you going with?
I mentioned this to you the other night, and I can see them doing it just for a storyline catalyst of, if Hunter and Punk are going to go, I can see them putting Hunter in.
It's the game.
I can see it because Vince is still in charge. So it's something of, Vince opts to put Hunter into the Hall of Fame. He gets elected into the class. And Punk uses that as really a catalyst for the part of the feud where it's, you're so egotistical that you're putting yourself into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
When Hunter has no choice of it. But it's like, if you're going to get Hunter in, you've got to get Hunter in the next 3 to 5 years, I would say, before he really takes over.
Now, we've done this discussion before. I would say Vince should be the guy. Vince should be the headliner. Vince should have it all to himself. If they were going to put him in, and WrestleMania 30 would be the perfect place to do it. Here's my question, and I got to look this up as we're doing this. Because do research what? Because the name popped into my head, and I'm not 100% sure if he's in the Hall of Fame yet or not. So this is where I'm looking it up on WWE.com right now, the Hall of Fame class. Kind of curious. Oh, he's already in. Okay, never mind. Because I was going to say 30 years, I would put Howard Finkel in, but then, yeah, he was already in. So there goes that thought process.
Jim Johnston should go in.
Jim Johnston should go in. He's been a backbone. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to say Brooklyn Brawler deserves to go in. Steve Lombardi, for all the work he does with that company, he should be honored into that Hall of Fame. Not for just his wrestling career, but for being part of the company. He does anything they need, everything they need. Brooklyn Brawler, Steve Lombardi, should be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely agree. 100%. Tony Chimmel.
Tony Chimmel at some point should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm going to throw it out there. I don't know if I said it. We've done this segment before. I can't remember what I've told you. Floyd Money Mayweather will probably be in this year's WWE Hall of Fame as the celebrity. I know, but I'm calling it. If it's not Mr. T, fool, it's going to be Floyd.
It's going to be Mayweather, yeah.
Money Mayweather. Just because he's Hunter's boy, and that's the deal.
And you know what? That's fine. Ultimately, it's like I don't get a say, so if Hunter wants to put him in, Hunter can put him in, that's fine. I don't think he's done enough to warrant to go into the Hall of Fame, but that's just me.
That's just you.
And you have one match in WWE, and you get to go in the Hall of Fame, that's a little...
Drew Carey, you were there. Drew Carey.
Yeah, oh, I know, Drew Carey went in, it's like, hell, put Maria Menounos in.
There you go. I would put, you know, I know the big outcry is to do Randy Savage. Not this year. Sorry. You're already doing Warrior. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think if Randy's going in, maybe it should be another year because the focus won't be on him, because the focus will be on other people, brother. So what you gonna do, brother?
You know what? You know who I would put in?
Who?
Michael fucking Hayes.
Maybe not this year. He has a lot of... I told you this before. He has to earn his spot again.
Oh, I know, but he definitely deserves to go in. He's one of those that should be in.
Yeah,
holding off on.
Doc Hendrick should go into the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm with you.
But, I mean, I kind of want to go back to Vince, and I actually would love to see Vince go in just because... he deserves to go in, and it's something of, this is, with everything he has done, he deserves to be honored. And I don't know whether it's, he deserves to be honored at the Hall of Fame, or they do something very special for him at some point down the line, maybe when he retires, if he retires. But I would love to see Vince go in the Hall of Fame. I would love to see it while Vince is still alive, because, can you imagine the speech, dear Lord?
Oh, yeah, that would be, again, the roast of Vince McMahon would be tremendous. And he would tell stories on everybody else.
You know, for what Vince has given us, because without Vince, we wouldn't have the WWE. He should be celebrated. His accomplishments, his achievements, everything he has sacrificed and done for the fans should be celebrated. And I don't want to say rewarded, because rewarded is the wrong word, but and compensated is the wrong word, but it should be something of the fans, and everyone gives something back to Vince.
Pay tribute to the man.
Yes, pay tribute to him where he can see it to say, you know, you do matter and we appreciate everything you do for us. Because we do.
We do. Kim brings up Jake Roberts.
Jake's an interesting one.
Yeah, Jake's an interesting one. The tale of the story is there. But I want people to look at this objectively. Did he do enough in his career to earn that spot? But take the story, the road to recovery story, out of it. Did he do enough? You could say other people who did less have been in. But I also hear the argument, this so-and-so doesn't deserve it, he didn't do enough to get in. Did Jake... Road to recovery notwithstanding, and that would be great honor. Here's the road to redemption. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but I would always question it. That's my tale on it. I'm all for Jake going in, and I'll be happy for him to go in. It'll be a nice road, nice story to tell. But objectively speaking, look at the career and see what he did. That's just, I want people to take the glasses off sometimes and just look at the story, you know, look beyond the story they're telling, he's trying to tell now, and look at the man, what the man did in his career. That's all I'm saying.
Jake's a tough one for me to comment on because I haven't seen enough of his career to really, really say yes or no. I think at some point he will end up going in. I just don't know if it's this year.
King Kids makes the case. He might have not had the titles, but it gets used with Savage, Taker, Warrior, and Earthquake. This is true. Again, he's on the borderline. He's like, it's a borderline thing for me. You know what I mean? I like I said, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. It's just, he's on the borderline. I can see, I can go with the argument of him being in. I can also make the argument he did too much to, it's like, you look at all the accomplishments, but did he, for everything he did good, did he do enough? He did a lot bad, and the bad hurt his reputation. Just because you're telling the story now doesn't mean, you know, doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. Ahmed Johnson did hold a title, and Ahmed Johnson will never be a WWE Hall of Famer. But the point is, it's like, did he do enough? Did he do enough to do the pros outweigh the cons? This is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Well, another name to bring up, speaking of Rose recovery, Scott Hall. And for that matter, Kevin Nash.
Nash and Hall definitely deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and they will be someday. I don't think it's this year. I would be surprised if it was this year, but I could see it being this year, but I don't see it being this year. But they both, Nash and Hall for sure, because they were big parts in the NWO and the start of the Monday Night War. And the whole change of the way things were done in WCW. They were big influences in both WWE and WCW.
Well, here, speaking of WCW, another name to throw out there, Eric Bischoff.
Borderline, I would put him in at some point. If you put Bischoff in, then the name you go in, the man who's getting a DVD in August, Paul Heyman.
Oh, Heyman deserves to go in, absolutely.
Not yet, but he will be one day.
I mean, I sent it to you, there was an article on Yahoo talking about how Paul Heyman deserved to go in.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you're going to put Paul Heyman in the Hall of Fame, you should have done it in New York.
Yeah, you should have.
But yeah, I agree, Paul Heyman definitely deserves to go in. King Kittens brings up the name of Crash Holly.
Borderline. Borderline, I would say no, but he's borderline.
I think Crash would be one of those people that if you need a name, you can use it. I just don't think that many people, again, sadly, are going to remember Crash.
Like, no one will remember Crash, and sadly, no one will. You could tell a story, but he's a borderline, and I would say borderline no, but that's just me. Davey Boy Smith. He brings up Davey Boy Smith. Yeah.
I'll let you lead this one because I'm not familiar enough with Davey Boy's career, sadly, to comment.
Davey Boy deserves to go in at some point. Should it be this year? No.
I will say this, Owen deserves to go in before Davey Boy.
Owen goes in before Davey, but Davey deserves to go in. And if you want it, the way to do it, Here's a way to do it. You put the entire Hart family into the WWE Hall of Fame at some point. Years from now, you put the Hart family and the Brett come out and accept it. That way you can get the Bulldog in there, you can get Brian Pillman in there, you can get Owen in there. When you induct the entire family and the foundation into Hall of Fame. That's how I would do that.
Now, speaking of the Hart family, what about just Jim Neidhart on his own?
No. But as the family, yes. On the own, no.
Okay. Well, I'm out of names. What about you?
I threw Vince and I threw Mayweather. They're the only names I can think of. It's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see who their class is. Jim Cornette would be one. Honestly, I listened to an interview Jim Cornette did. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He would go. He would actually go into the Hall of Fame. If WWE asked, he would think about it. He would definitely go in for the Midnight Express. Jim Cornette, though, he would be happy to go in. He deserves to go in at some point. This year, not so much, but at some point, Jim Cornette would go in, and the speech would be fantastic.
Oh, I would love to hear Jim Cornette's speech. That would be amazing, because you know he'd just get up there and start calling everybody out. You know he would.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are my names, and it's going to be an interesting class to see who goes in.
Because actually, I thought of one more. JBL.
Some point.
But not now?
Not yet. The year 30 is too big. When you do JBL, Texas.
Yeah. No, they're not going to put the Honky Tonk Man. That's not going to
happen. They've thought about it.
Oh, they've thought about it, and I'm sure he will go in at one point, but not this year. Not this year. Of course, we say that. And watch, it'll probably happen. But, yeah, it's something of this year. I think they're going to save as many big names as they can. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, is they have to outdo last year's class. So they obviously held some people back, and the one thing that they really have to outdo is Bruno Sammartino. Like, that was the big one last year. No offense to Trish, no offense to Mankind, no offense to Booker, no offense to anybody in that class, but Bruno Sammartino was the headliner, and they have to overcome that. So they're gonna be shooting for the big names. I mean, think about it. They opened it with Warrior.
And they could just go out right and go, Sting, woo!
Yeah, here's the thing, is if Sting is done with TNA...
If Sting is done with TNA and this goes back to the open discussion, who inducts Warrior? Could be the Stinger.
Yeah, it could be Sting. He may not go in, but they could at least... That frees him up to induct Warrior and possibly sets him up to go in later. And could possibly set him up for a run in WWE, too.
Yeah, so we've mentioned many names, including Vince and Bearer and Savage and Roberts and Money Mayweather and JBL and a bunch of others. Hell, I would put the APA in together. That'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be an awesome speech.
You hear JBL and Farouk tell some speech story. Whenever JBL goes in, Ron Simmons must induct JBL. I'm just pointing that one out. He must.
Oh, it's going to happen.
He must
it's
induct.
It's going to happen.
He must induct JBL. That's for damn sure. JBL must be inducted by Ron Simmons.
Because I want stories, damn it.
Oh, the stories Ron Simmons has on JBL? Ooh, JBL better hope his people... who work for Fox News don't hear the stories that Ron Simmons tells about him, because then JBL would be screwed.
JBL was a little bit of a wild child back in the day, and I don't think he's calmed down much.
Nope, I don't think JBL has.
But that's okay. So anyway, on that note, I think we're about spent.
Yeah, I think we're spent after all that talk.
So on that note, we have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow night, Saturday night, midnight, I should see Beware of the Weird, the Wacky, and the Unusual. So join us for all that. We're going to talk about hashtag Blame Rob and all the other weird, wacky, unusual stuff we could possibly come up with. Sunday night, it is WTR Sunday night, live at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap the week in wrestling, talk about Bray Wyatt, and preview the Royal Rumble. Monday night's Raw post-show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, live at 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Go to ProductionTees.com/RackRadioShow. Buy the official Rack or T-shirt. Alright, and I'll say this because someone told me this the other day. Click the Google Ads on the website. Anyway, check out WTRProductions.net. Hey, I did it. He asked, I did it. There you go. Probably didn't understand what I just said, but I said it. I did it. I did my part. Anyway, Lindsay, plug. Go.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, under the Contact Us section, is a link to my Redbubble store if you like my artwork. If you'd like to buy my artwork, it is available there for sale on Redbubble.com. Just click the link on the website, and it will take you to the store. If you buy it, I appreciate it so much. Also, check out CassieRiley.net. You can check out my Behance.net/LinsWard, LinsWard. I have the latest piece, Believe, featuring NXT and WWE superstar Bo Dallas. It is available for sale also on my Redbubble store if you want to show your support for the NXT champion. Also, listen to The Rack. And if you get a chance, if it's still available tomorrow or if it's available now, go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for The Rack. We are up for Show of the Year, Male Interview of the Year, Female Interview of the Year, and Media Interview of the Year. So if you haven't voted, please go ahead, go vote there. I believe voting will close probably tomorrow, but we're not sure.
No, if it hasn't closed already. Keep voting when once a day, as long as it's open. And the awards will be given out on January 26th.
Yes. And also, please check out our amazing sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and of course, Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
But tonight, I hope he is a gentleman. Maybe we'll find out.